Hello everyone, this is Cameron Day from AscensionHelp.com, coming to you with another podcast from the sunny and quite warm Pacific Northwest. It's June 30th, 2013. We're in a little bit of a heat wave here. What we call a heat wave is 88 degrees today, maybe 90, 92 tomorrow. Things are a little cooler up here for the most part, so for us, this is hot. So I'm taking a break from the heat, taking a break from my little garden project, and I wanted to give you this podcast. I've been promising several of you this podcast for weeks now, and it is ready. I'm ready. The information is ready. And so I'm glad you're here. This is going to be a long one, so get comfortable, get a beverage, and let's get into it. So I'm going to start off answering a few questions. Somebody asked me on the Boston bombing video that I made how I can be so calm about all this stuff. Why am I not angry about it? Well, the truth is that I do get angry. I'm quite often angry about how badly humanity has been subjugated, enslaved, and raped on this planet. And anger is the natural response to tyranny, to enslavement, and violation of free will. But when I get angry, I express that anger in the moment. You see, anger becomes a problem when it's suppressed. And that suppression will cause it to eat away at the person. And over time, they will have disproportionately angry reactions to situations or people that are triggering them. So I encourage you to get in touch with your anger and know that it's okay to be angry. It's okay to get angry. Just let it out. And make sure that you're letting it out on an appropriate target. Meaning if you're angry about something happening in the world, do your best to not take it out on your loved ones around you. And if you don't have a viable outlet that you know of, I recommend really getting it out physically and verbally, using your voice, using your body to expel that energy, to discharge that energy on a physical level. So I call this particular expression bed punching. And it's just like it sounds. You get on your bed, you start punching it. You take a particular pillow and you attempt to beat the stuffing out of that pillow. Go ahead and scream into that pillow. And just keep it up until you're completely exhausted. And then roll onto your back, tune into your higher self, and let your higher self transmute the pain that is coupled with that anger. And so you'll have let the anger out, and the pain will be released and transmuted as well. And once you've discharged the anger enough, and depending on the life you've had, you might have a lot of this to do, or maybe just a little bit. But then after you've gotten it out, you can find that you'll be appropriately angry when you're confronted with deception or coercion. And you'll find that just saying no with enough power and a bit of anger behind it is often enough to signal to a person that's trying to dominate or deceive you, that you're not going to be easy prey for them. And then when the situation is over, when you're out of that particular situation, then refocus yourself back to a calm state. And so it's really important to not be constantly angry. I'm definitely not angry all the time, because I am not going to let psychopaths and ankle biters determine my baseline resonance. I choose to have a calm, peaceful, high vibration as my normal state. But I still have emotions, problems, bills to pay, and everything that goes along with being a human on Earth at this time. So I let the emotions have their expression, and then I move on. So really the key here is expression instead of repression. And that can take many different forms. Depends on you, depends on your life, and what works best for you. Now, often for me, I find the expression is getting into a deeper understanding of how maybe I'm hurt by a person, and I'll let that person know. Or maybe I'm hurt because I'm feeling the pain that other people are experiencing in the world. The atrocities happening in the world all the time. When I tune into those, I feel that other person's pain, right? That's empathy. We all need to have empathy. The lack of empathy on this planet is one of our major problems. And so if it's a person, I tell that person, I'm hurt by this. These things that you said hurt me in this way. But if it's a global event, I'll investigate it more deeply to find out what's going on there. And for me, finding out what's going on, that knowledge, once it replaces the uncertainty, that helps the anger to subside. That's for me anyways, and it may be the case for you as well. So knowledge often helps to discharge anger. When you know what's really going on, then the uncertainty vanishes, and then the anger can vanish. Sometimes, though, knowing what's going on makes us more and more and more angry. So we have to be careful when we're investigating, when we're on that path of discovery, to take breaks, to discharge the anger, to do something else that can maybe help us discharge that energy in a constructive way. So for me, I also like physical activities. I like to lift weights, do yoga, do gardening, landscaping, even chainsaw work, although I kind of don't like the chainsaw work because it's smelly and nasty and all of that, but I still have to do it because I live in the woods. And so that chainsaw work, or even splitting wood or that type of thing, all that physical stuff helps to get that energy out. Now, of course, meditation is the ultimate calmer, right? But sometimes in your meditation, you need to get in touch with your anger. You need to get in touch with the pain that's been covered up and hiding for years or decades. But ultimately, once you process that pain, you get to calm, because that's the higher frequency, is a calm frequency. I'm also calm because I know that the machinations of the dark forces are going to fail. I don't just believe it, I know it. Now, everything that the dark does is the definition of unsustainable. And that's especially true for the dark magic that the human elite are practicing. And they use clever techniques to deflect the energetic backlash that they should be getting from their disgusting rituals that they do. They deflect that energy onto the world population, so they don't actually receive that backlash. So they basically give the world a double dose of their darkness. But that little trick is starting to fail them. They're starting to receive the backlash that they should be getting back from their black magic. And so we can actually help that process by consciously refunding back to them all of the projections that they are putting out. And that way they can feel the full force of the backlash generated from their actions. So that's why in the solstice meditation email that I sent out, I encouraged everyone to put these negative so-called elite into reflective spheres of light. And the purpose for that was so that their projections can bounce right back to them, like immediate backlash. Because when they start to feel the true backlash of what they're putting out, they are going to be in real trouble because they've been putting out some bad stuff for a long time. Now, another question that I got was the person was asking me to go into more detail about what I consider a wrong belief, that what we resist persists, and also that we completely control our reality, or that our thoughts completely manifest our reality. So she has a deep-rooted belief in these ideas. And so it's really a matter of degree. It's a matter of specificity and looking deeper into what are the mechanisms of what has been called the law of attraction. And there is, in my estimation, a scam, really, around the law of attraction. Now, absolutely, your thoughts do influence your reality. But notice I said influence, not create. And that's because consensus reality, as it exists, is being held in place by many forces that we can't directly control. And so it actually is true that we do create our reality with our thoughts, but this creation process has been hijacked. And it's been infected with a virus that I call the infection of darkness. And so the result of this infection is that humanity as a collective does the majority of the hard work in creating our experience here on Earth to basically be hell on Earth. So the manipulators and controllers have set things up so that they can very easily steer humanity's collective unconscious in the direction that they want to see things go. And so that has meant the direction of war, poverty, struggle, interpersonal strife, unfulfilled lives, debt-based economies, rapacious corporations, corrupt government, abuse of authority, submission to abusive authority, on and on and on. And so one of the keys to freeing humanity from this hellish creation is for people to realize that they do have the power to create their reality, but that their power and their creative ability has been hijacked and manipulated. And so we need to understand and really fine detail the mechanisms of this very subtle form of enslavement. And as the realizations dawn of the different ways that the enslavement has been imposed on us, then each individual can reclaim the energy that they had previously been feeding into empowering their enslavement. And so again, that level one self-clearing system, the aspect of reclaiming your energy, taking your power back. Yeah, you do have the power. It's just been turned around and turned against you. So that the end result isn't that you create every bad thing that's ever happened to you. No, but your mind has been conditioned to be receptive to those things so that they can be inserted into your reality. So yeah, our thoughts are creating our reality, but there's other beings that are also doing their own reality creation process. And they're better at it because they have a higher perspective, a higher density perspective. They know what's actually going on, and they know how to manipulate us. So the key to really getting that power back is understanding. It's awareness, discernment, and being empowered from within. Because it takes an empowered individual who understands what they really are and how powerful they really are to face down the dark forces, to tell them to go away, to go to the galactic core and become something useful, or to just get the heck out. So the law of attraction is being used, or at least it has been used, to make people believe that acquiring material things is somehow a path to spiritual fulfillment. And that is very obviously not true. It's also being used on people to make them afraid to confront and look at the darkness. They're afraid because they've been told that if they focus on it, that they'll give it power. And then, of course, the phrase, what you resist, persist, comes in. And I am here to tell you that's not the case. It's the opposite of that. If we ignore the machinations of the dark forces, they're going to happily go on doing what they've always been doing right under our nose. So we have to face the darkness, tell it to shove off. And we have to reclaim all of that energy that we've given to this beast matrix, this beastly, rapacious system that has been infiltrated into our minds and our society. We have to understand its components. We have to ask what's going on here, what's behind this. And when we find it, we have to completely withdraw our consent for that aspect of the control grid to exist. And sometimes we have to forcibly remove beings from our energy fields. We have to forcibly remove energetic implants from our energy fields that they're using to control us. So I think that the New Age falsism of what you resist persists needs to be abandoned in favor of reorienting our focus to say, not on my watch. This is not going to happen on my watch. You are not going to get away with this because I am aware and I see what you're doing and I will not allow it to happen. So that is aware resistance that helps to truly create a reality the way that we want it to be. And so it's through being observant, watchful, mindful, questioning everything, and setting healthy boundaries, that we can stop these psychopathic beings from keeping us enslaved. And so we need to understand the control matrix, the beast matrix. We need to understand its components. We need to dissect it and inform other people about it. We can't just think happy thoughts and wish it away. I wish that were true, but it's been my experience that we have to actually stand up in our power, stand up to these bullies of consciousness, and if necessary, bloody their nose so that they know that we mean business, that we will fight back. Now, one of the aspects of how this control matrix is held in place, they get us to do it to ourselves, right? So they're doing it partly through our electronics that we've come to depend on so much. Cell phones, for example, cordless phones, put out just as much, if sometimes maybe even more radiation than a cell phone does. Your wireless router, lots of radiation coming out there. And this radiation is pulsed to a certain rhythm that entrains the mind into accepting the matrix as it is, into being a left-brained little cog in the wheel of the machine. Television, of course, is another big one. The flicker rate of the screen induces an alpha state, and in that alpha state, a person is more receptive to subliminal programming. That's why they call it television programming, folks. And I came across an article recently titled, "There's a surge in, quote, digital dementia happening in South Korea." Now, South Korea is a highly technically advanced country, meaning everyone has a smartphone, everyone has wireless internet. Their cars have internet, you know, just like here, but they've really embraced the technology there. And so their scientists are saying, and the quote is, "Overuse of smartphones and game devices hampers the balanced development of the brain. Heavy users are likely to develop the left side of their brains, leaving the right side untapped or underdeveloped." End quote. And the article goes on to talk about actual dementia, schizophrenic types of symptoms that people are experiencing. And so we need to understand what's going on there and take some action. Now, would the action, excuse me, a little tickle in my throat here. Would the action be to just focus, to do some meditation, to perhaps love our cell phones, to beam more love at the cell phones? And now I'm being a little sarcastic. Of course not. The solution is to take action that will undo what's being done. So that means we get the old corded phones back out of the closet, or maybe go and buy a couple instead of using the cordless phone in your house. I'd like you to think all the way back to ancient history, back to the 90s. Remember the 90s? Remember those long cords that you had on your phone? Sure, they got a little twisted up, but you could walk around your house and talk on the phone. You just had to drag that little bit of cord with you. It wasn't that big a deal. Next step is turn off the wireless on your router and go to an Ethernet cable. Again, yeah, there's a cable. You might have to get a long Ethernet cable to go from room to room. You might even have to do a little bit of drilling into some walls and such. But the effect of keeping that wireless router off will be worth that effort. Next step is to minimize or eliminate your usage of that cell phone. Keep it off until you need to use it. Just leave it off. Tell people to message you a different way, or just turn it on once or twice a day, check your messages, and then call people back from a landline. You need to minimize that time that you have that cell phone next to your head, next to your brain, in training you to be left brain dominant. Now, another beneficial solution are what are called earthing pads or grounding pads. These won't undo all of the damage. In other words, if you have your wireless router and your cell phone and your cordless phone all going on your desk, then an earthing pad isn't going to do much for you. But if you've taken care of those devices, maybe even you've gone to the step of putting a little radiation shield in front of your monitor. I'm not sure how well those work, but some people swear by them. So if you've done those basic steps and then you get an earthing pad, now you're also giving yourself a real boost. You're discharging the electrons that have been building up in your body. And it's essentially the same as being barefoot on the ground, on the grass or on the dirt. So if you can't take your shoes off and go outside, maybe it's cold, maybe it's raining, your little earthing pad can help you with that. So then once that is handled, then meditation is very powerful, because now you can begin tapping into that right brain. You can begin entraining your brain to whole brain function. Also very helpful, of course, is to minimize that ego, right? What is that step 1, 2, 3 in the self-clearing system? Minimize that ego so that you can think the thoughts of your divine inner self and take action from your divine inner self. And then a really big one is to shift your inner landscape to be as calm and peaceful as you can while you're doing the little tasks of your daily life. So doing the dishes, walking the dog, whatever it is, your inner environment will be shifted to being very peaceful. While your outside appearance would look the same to anybody looking at you, on the inside, your energetic and your mental environment will be very different. It will be peaceful and it will be calm. And you'll find that doing that on a regular basis simply begins to entrain you. It ingrains the habit of being calm and peaceful. Peace is a habit. It's a skill. You have to work at it. You don't just automatically become peaceful. You work towards that state of peace and calm. You work through whatever anger or unhappiness is in you. You address it, you express it, and you transmute whatever is related to it. You take your power back from that, and then peace is the result. Now, in regards to how we need to change in order to change our world, we also need to really learn how to think properly. We need a really sharp intellect that's balanced with the intuition. We need that head brain, the heart brain, and the belly brain all balanced. And if you don't know what I'm talking about there, check out Self-Clearing Level 2. So we need to think very deeply, and we need to not accept the surface explanation, the stories that are handed to us for the various events occurring in the world. We need to not listen to that propaganda. We need to go deeper and constantly ask, what is this? What's the meaning of this? What is the deeper truth behind this? and on and on. And so the question, what, is paramount. We need to know what is what. And without this linear knowledge, this head knowledge, or this logical information, we won't really be able to make informed decisions. Now, we can rely completely on intuition, but that can only get us so far. That can still leave us potentially vulnerable to mental manipulation. But when we balance intuition with a piercing intellect, then we become very difficult to manipulate. And so the general public is easy to manipulate because they have been trained through the school system to not think critically or deeply. They're taught to accept whatever authority tells them, and they're taught to respond emotionally to trigger words, to certain phrases. And I'm sure you can think of a couple of them right now. Like, for example, soldiers are told that they're fighting for freedom. And everyone in whatever country they're in, it's not just a Western country phenomenon, but most countries, they're taught that their country is the best country. That the way that they do things is better than everyone else. Some people are also taught that their race is the superior race or the divinely chosen race, and on and on. So all of these are emotional manipulations that get that person to respond how authority wants them to respond. So these types of emotional manipulations can be overcome. And that's done by applying intellect and discernment to whatever information that we're being exposed to, so that we can determine if it's actually valid information or just propaganda. So once you start training yourself to spot manipulation, you're going to see it everywhere. And it'll probably anger you to an extent. So get that anger out, because you're going to need to be clear-headed. As you go down this rabbit hole, you're going to find that manipulation exists in every single public or media sphere. And it isn't always what they're saying. Sometimes it's what they're not saying. Most of the time, it's also in the way that the words are said, or the way that the issue is framed. And so framing is an NLP thing. You can look it up to get more information on it. But it's basically controlling how a situation or a topic is viewed by limiting the discussion of it. So as an example, we'll take the Edward Snowden NSA whistleblower. So the media is doing their absolute best to limit this conversation to a very overly simplistic binary equation. I'm sure you've heard this. The question is he a hero or a traitor? And it's so simplistic, so reductionistic and absurd. But that question, that binary option, is it option A or option B? That is framing the debate and controlling the conversation. So if they can steer that conversation, they can keep it from touching on any uncomfortable subjects, on anything that they want to keep secret. So what if we reframed that discussion and we framed it with the question, should we completely eliminate the NSA, or should we only cut half of its funding? That's a conversation that's worth having, because it puts the focus on where it needs to be, which is the secret activities of the intelligence agencies, that they have been hiding all of this massive surveillance and keeping so many secrets from us. And this is the tiniest tip of the iceberg of what they have been keeping secret. So all of these control methods are really used for the purpose of entraining us to the Matrix, but also keeping their agendas and their actions hidden from us. And all of this control is really a form of brain-mind entrainment. And so with brainwave entrainment, if you're not entraining your own brain, someone else is probably doing it for you. That's why I have that big brainwave entrainment package called Genius Brain Power. So you can use those meditation tracks to tap you into the right brain, to tap you into your subconscious mind. So in general, technology and digital entertainment are putting us into left hemisphere dominance. So it's really important to do right brain enhancing activities. Now, certain technologies, like the properly sequenced brainwave entrainment frequencies, can tap you right into that right brain. It doesn't have to make you left brain just because it's technology. The technology has been designed to do that. But there are ways around that. And brainwave entrainment is one of those ways. And so one of our goals needs to be cultivating a balanced, well-functioning head brain that is balanced from both hemispheres and in harmony with the heart brain, the belly brain, and of course the higher self. And to me, this is a process of returning to the original human template that we embodied long, long ago. Because human history is not at all what we've been told. And that's been a keen interest of mine, is finding out what human history really is. And so through a long process of deep meditation, questioning my higher self, of doing dream analysis, and plenty of 3D research, I've put together some of the pieces of the untold history of humanity. Now, I don't have the full picture. I don't think anyone does. But the pieces that I've uncovered are painting a picture that's very, very different from what we've been told. So, at the beginning, humans were produced by the Earth somewhere over 200,000 years ago. Now, I don't know how far over. The dates are tricky for me, but that's the approximation that I have. Somewhere at least 200,000 years ago. And an important point here is that ETs did not come and make humanity. They did not seed them here. The Earth chose the human template. The Earth chose to sequence the DNA to produce a human race, to be stewards of the planet. Now, that's kind of another little rabbit hole, so I won't go too deep into that, but just keep that in mind as we go along. So the original humans had tremendous mental capacity. They were telepathic. They had telekinesis that was decently strong as an individual, but when they worked together, the larger the group, the stronger their ability to lift large objects was. So along with telepathy and telekinesis, they understood that they were stewards of the earth. They had a basic template that they built off of. So they did not war with each other. They understood that they were all brothers and sisters. They were also able to navigate third and fourth densities at the same time. And that's really important. That's something that's been long lost, the ability to perceive and affect fourth density, that energetic environment around the earth. So these beings were incredibly attuned and aligned with the planet, with what the planet needed, with what was good for the earth as well as themselves. So there was no technology like we have today. The technology that they had was very much keyed into consciousness itself. It was powered by consciousness. They had cracked the free energy code long, long, long ago. And so after 100,000 years, give or take, of developing, they had achieved a very high level. And the technology made it so that everyone was cared for. And again, though, telepathy made that also possible. You see, if you're telepathic, you can't just ignore the suffering of a fellow human. And so the technology was balanced with consciousness. It interacted with consciousness. And the parasitic dark forces, the Service to Self Collective, the ankle biters, whatever you'd like to call them, they were not able to really influence these beings. They could see right through their agenda, and they just told them, go away. We don't want anything to do with you. But the parasites are very, very clever. And they pretended to be angels of light. And they visited a handful of very advanced scientists. They visited them while they were asleep, so that they had a dream of an angel of light. And they tempted them with power. With the power to traverse the solar system, the entire galaxy, to travel through multiple densities. And the scientists were already working on a way to harness massive amounts of power from the sun. They were harnessing third and fourth density energies, or energies from the what we consider the third density level, the visible light spectrum, all the way up into higher spectrums, higher into the fourth density. But in their desire to attain this incredible power, to harness this power far beyond anything that they had harnessed before, they pushed too far. They took a risk that they should not have taken. And the result was an accident, a cataclysmic explosion at the pole of the planet, the North Pole. And it rocked the entire planet, created massive sea level rises, tidal waves, earthquakes. And it was the first real massive cataclysm that this human race had ever experienced. And it ended up wiping out the majority of the population of the planet at that time. And it was a very large population. It's larger, actually, even than we have now. And everyone, of course, loves to live at the beach, right? So there's 90% of the populace just wiped out. So the remnants rebuilt their society, but that trauma and loss from that cataclysm and the loss of their friends and families in their entire society. That trauma was an opening for the parasitic infection of darkness to take hold. But they fended it off as well as they could, and they persevered. They built another society. They rebuilt. They kept their society quite enlightened, and they went on for about 70,000 years or so. But then another cataclysm occurred. I don't have solid information on the cause of this one. It could have been a natural occurrence. Could have been technology related. I haven't pinned that one down. But this cataclysm was about 30,000 years in the past. And so the story repeated again. The survivors regrouped. They rebuilt. And now they're carrying even more traumas in their subconscious mind. And due to these traumas, they're becoming less and less psychic, and they're becoming more reliant on technology. But they still have tremendous ability, still have tremendous mental capabilities, and they still have the ability to build massive pyramids all over the earth. And this includes, of course, the pyramids at Giza, the Bosnian pyramids, the pyramids in China. So most of these pyramids are much, much, much older than we've been told. Some of them as old as 30,000 years. And the pyramids were used to generate and distribute power. Kind of like Tesla's idea to beam power through the ionosphere. So they had figured that one out a long time ago, and that's why they had built those pyramids, so they could rebuild the society quickly. Now, as their society is rebuilding, there are men and a few women seeking to regain their lost powers who started making pacts and agreements with the dark consciousness. See, they wanted that power back. And that's how the dark side always hooks a human, is through the promise of power. And so as they started making these agreements, started getting some more powers and abilities, as their lineage went on over time, many years, hundreds of years, thousands of years even, their lineages, their offspring, became the dark occult priests of Atlantis. And there's some stories about them out there already. But these men and women, because they were cunning and deceptive, and because the general psychic abilities were diminishing in the populace, they were able to use cunning and deception to rise to very high levels of societal and political power. And they used this political power to claim that they spoke for all of humanity. And they made agreements with the higher level ankle biters and their servants, their minions in the lower realms of fourth density and even third density. And part of the agreement was to bring in a mind control satellite to exert massive control over human consciousness. And this satellite is what we know as the moon. And so when the moon arrived, it created yet another cataclysm. Of course, the dark elite were prepared for this. They had safe locations, underground bases and such. And they just waited out the disasters, let the majority of the populace get wiped out. And then they reemerged, still fully intact with all technologies that they had preserved. So they automatically had the reins of power, and they then began to set up very enslaving governmental structures. which of course served their higher density controllers. And so in the post-disaster period, this disaster was about 12,000 years ago. In that time, massive suppression and alteration of human DNA was put in place by these negative third and fourth density beings. And they essentially took complete control over the planet. And so this suppression resulted in the human being that we know today. A human being that's riddled with vulnerabilities that can be easily exploited. A human being that has minimal psychic awareness, has very minimal telepathic abilities, has a wounded psyche, and is wide open for interference. And so our nervous systems, the nervous system of the human body, has been conditioned for thousands of years now. It's been conditioned to adhere to the limitations of time, matter, third density, society, and authority. And so transcending this conditioning and remembering who we truly are is ascension. So to me, it's not about getting out of third density. It's not about getting away from the bad things. It's about claiming our divine right to be the stewards of this planet. And in making that claim, we will be evicting the regressive low-frequency consciousness. We'll be telling them, it's time to leave. Time to pack up and go and don't ever come back. Now, of course, there are a lot of other ideas on what ascension means. And there is definitely a disinformation about ascension in the form of what I would call a dark ascension. So what does that mean? Well, essentially it means being concerned only with yourself and acquiring enough power and energy to escape the limitations of the third density reality and then leaving everyone else behind. And so you may have heard people expressing certain types of ideas similar to that. Right, they just want to get out, and the idea is that certain people will be left behind because they weren't evolved enough to get out and all of that kind of stuff. To me, that has its roots in the disinformation of the dark side. And so it's important to understand just how influential the dark side has been and how much disinformation that they've woven into every aspect of our society, including what we think of as our spiritual truths. And so this idea where elite occultists have been in contact with demonic forces or archontic forces or ankle biters, as I like to call them, it goes way back. And as an example, in recent history, we have John Dee, who was Queen Elizabeth's astrologer, and he was known as a black magician. He routinely made contact with demonic beings, and one of them gave him instructions on how to conquer any country in the world. He was also given a plan to have the entire world be under British rule. In other words, the quote-unquote New World Order, or as I call it, the New World Disorder, was a plan hatched by demonic forces. You can call them archons if you like, demons or whatever. But this plan has been under construction since the era of Queen Elizabeth. And so they've been at it a long time. And unfortunately, a lot of what passes for channeled information these days is really coming from these ankle biters, from these manipulative beings that use our desire to get out of the darkness and back into the light of greater consciousness. They use that against us. They use our desire for love and acceptance, and so they sound very sweet and loving. But if you really pay attention to these channelings, you'll notice a few things. First, you'll notice that they all tend to have kind of a similar tone that I call sugary sweet. It's like way too sweet. And they all have this underlying current that everything's fine. All you have to do is wait. The Calvary is coming. Your saviors are coming. They also tend to, if they do actually make a prediction, they're wrong. Like, all the time. And so there's one I'm thinking of in particular. Now, I don't get into discussing individuals and what they're up to. And I'm going to extend that general policy to the channels as well. But there's one that's been around for a long time. It's very popular. And it's said things, made predictions that have been demonstrated as false. For example, it predicted, well, of course, they were all very adamant that December 21st, 2012 would be the massive shift and all of that. And that, of course, set up the environment for people to be deeply disappointed that the light switch of ascension and enlightenment didn't get switched on. But this particular channel also, a couple of years ago or so, give or take, predicted that chemtrails would be ending, that the cabal was running out of money and that their chemtrail program would stop. Of course, that did not occur. They're going as strong as ever on the chemtrails. So their predictions don't manifest. There's been others by this one. I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but somebody was sending me channel messages for a while, and I had to ask her twice to take me off of the list. And the second time, I got a little terse, and I deconstructed a little bit of this message. And one of the things that it said was that there are good ETs roaming the halls of the NSA, and that all of that spying is going to be used to take down the cabal. So, any ETs that have been making agreements with our governments and enacting secret data gathering and data mining, these are not positive beings. These are not loving ETs. These are manipulators, interventionists, and enslavers. These are minions of the ankle biters. They are the enforcer class, if you will, of the archontic program of control. So if there are ETs at the NSA, I guarantee you they're not here to help us, and they're not here to remove the cabal. They've worked long and hard to put that cabal into power and keep them in power. And so the mind control is present in so many places, and it's very present in these channels who aren't using any real discernment. They're not really discerning who they're communicating with. They get a surge of a good feeling, and so they think it's a positive being. They're not questioning these beings. They're not validating their information. They're just putting it out and believing it. And I understand why they want to believe it, because it would be great if the things that they were saying are true, but they've been proven over and over again to be false. So please don't fall for that. Use that discernment to look through it, to find the deception. And there's so many levels of it. I'm going to just pull this one up here because it's a doozy. Yeah, so they talked about the NSA, And, you know, and they say lots of nice things. See, that's where they get you, right? Oh, here's the biggest one. That Obama is a light worker. Oh, my goodness. Please. Obama is as far from, I don't know, maybe they're doing a different kind of light work. Now, of course, the dark side has their own form of light. I call it the false light or the negative light. So maybe that's the kind of light he's working for, because every single thing that he has done has simply been a continuation of what all the presidents have done. So please, please, please. And if anybody tells you that Obama's a light worker, he's just waiting for the right moment to act to snare the cabal. Please don't believe that. Just, you know, you don't have to argue with that person, but I urge you, don't go there. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Don't fall for that propaganda. Just because the channeled message said it, don't believe it, okay? In fact, I would even challenge you to switch it around and say, if you know what, if somebody just channeled that, if they didn't come up with that on their own, then I'm not really interested. I want to know what people have actually come up with on their own from their higher self, not just some download of a message that who knows where it came from, who knows if the being that sent it is a truly positive being. Just take a stance against the channelings. And I promise you, you'll be a much wiser and more informed purpose. Okay. Did I say you would be a purpose? I think I meant person. Sorry. I was looking at this channeled message here, and it's time to move on now. So we're coming back now to the occult. And all occult means, of course, is that it's hidden. If truth is occulted from humanity, it means that it's hidden from us, that we don't know what's really going on. And so the elite who do all of these occult practices in secret will publicly scorn anything that's remotely occult-oriented. So again, they're using manipulation, using deception, because they are secretly getting lots of information and guidance from these demonic overlords, and they're using spells, they're using rituals and binding spells to directly keep the general public in a trance, to keep them under the spell, to keep them going along with the program as it is. But the thing about the dark forces is that they lack any real creativity. They're very unoriginal. And some schools of thought think that they're simply machines. And while they certainly do have artificial intelligence technology working for them, once upon a time, this is what I've discovered, again, through deep meditation. Once upon a time, when they were first exploring the boundaries of free will, they were very creative beings, like all beings are meant to be. But they began exploring ways to use their free will to violate the free will of others. And they kept going down that dark path, and they kept choking off the life force. They kept squeezing the life force out of people and consuming it for themselves. And so this behavior is in direct opposition to the creator's life force, to the true essence of life. And so because they are opposed to the flow of life force, they are in a position of having less and less life force within themselves. And that then requires them to take more and more life force from others. Now, third density is kind of structured like this, right? We have to consume the life force of other things. Plants, of course, are alive. Plants can feel and think just in different ways than we can. And then on up the level of sentience. So we have to consume life force in 3D. But higher densities aren't really meant to be like that. In a higher density, you're simply aligned with the flow of infinite life. And when you act in alignment with that flow, then you have all that you need and more. So it's this degradation of their consciousness, of these dark beings, that's going to result in their self-inflicted downfall. Because again, their lack of creativity means that they're using the same tricks over and over again. These tricks that they discovered once upon a time when they were being creative and creatively finding ways to usurp other people's free will, creatively figuring out ways to get people to agree and empower their systems without consciously knowing that they've done that. I mean, that's pretty insidious. It's also very creative. So they've been using those same techniques to manufacture consent, to get people to go along with the matrix and to empower it, to give their power over to it. But those same old techniques are losing their abilities to manipulate us. As more and more people get tuned into their true self, and as they begin to explore the machinations of the matrix and to find out what is going on, to find out what is what, things are shifting much more rapidly for us. And we really have the power of numbers on our side. Because even people that are asleep still have a basic desire for peace and prosperity. And so we as a species, really all we have to do to counter their spell is to act peacefully, to be peaceful to each other, to be grateful to each other, to be grateful to nature, to Mother Earth. And to state our intent that we want to increase the peace on this planet. To state that every day. And then to do something that brings that about. Even if it's something tiny, like helping your neighbor with something. Or tiny, tiny things. Somebody doesn't have change in front of you at the grocery store. Or they don't have, you know, they're $5 short. So you give them $5. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. You'll find it. The opportunity will show itself to you. And so it's truly up to us to save ourselves and to save this planet, to rescue this planet from the darkness. And no outside authority can do it for us. And that's a really important point. We are conditioned to rely on outside authority for everything. It's part of the control grid. But it's really up to us. We are the authorities. We can be our own authority. We don't need a leader to lead us. We can come together and lead ourselves. But the society has been set up to be so dysfunctional for a reason. It's been set up this way so that we will reject it. And we will reject the leaders. And then when the moment is right, that ET saviors can then show up and step into the role of authority, to step into that role of the ones who are going to come and save us from ourselves. But these beings, if they do attempt to do that, These will not be positive beings. You see, the positive beings don't want to step in and save us. They want to empower us to save ourselves. But this ET saviorship meme is very potent and has been propagated for a long time. And of course, channeled messages are one of the big sources of that. And so there's been a false dialectic, again, that false control of, oh, is it going to be an invasion or is it going to be positive? Well, there is a third option. And that third option that's being left out of the discussion is that it will look positive, but it will be negative. It will be a process of co-opting humanity by offering us what we want. That's the kicker. They'll be offering us free energy devices. They'll be offering us ways to clean up pollution. But see, human scientists have already invented and produced free energy devices. And I'm talking within the last century here. And these free energy devices are in use right now, invented by humans. So we don't need any off-planet intelligence to come and hand us any technology. We already have it all, but that technology has been kept secret in order for the ET saviors to be the ones to present us with that technology. So they're, again, managing our perceptions, and they're attempting to create the illusion that we will have the choice to accept their generous offer. They're creating the illusion that we will benefit tremendously, that they're only here to help us. So they'll be creating the illusion of freedom. And so I've written about this in the past. But if the government discloses, quote-unquote, ET contact, then they will be presenting us with human-looking ETs. They'll be presenting us with this faction called the Nordics that has been working with the secret government for eons of time to suppress humanity. Perhaps as long as 12,000 years of suppression by these beings and our governmental structures. And so these ETs will look gorgeous, incredibly attractive. And they'll say all the right things about bringing peace and order to our planet. And of course, dangle those technologies in front of us. And they'll promise to end all of the violence, the reign of terror that corrupt governments have inflicted on the world. Except that the truth is that these beings have been helping the governments become more and more corrupt and tyrannical to consolidate their power over the people, because they need us to feel desperate for their intervention so they can fulfill the role of saviors. Because every step along the way in their interventions, they have been invited in. And so they need us to invite them in. It's that old idea that the vampire has to be invited into your home. The parasitic consciousness has to be accepted. You have to say okay to it. Because if we as a united race got together, or even just the majority, said, no, we don't want you. We know you're lying to us. We know we can do all of this on our own. Then they wouldn't be able to step into power. We have to hand them the reins of power. So that's why they need us to be desperate for their help. And so truly positive ETs are doing what they can to help, but they would never pose as our saviors. Positive beings don't ever want another person to give them their power. And they would rather help people by helping them to empower themselves from within. And so the positive interventions that are occurring will pretty much never be seen by us unless we're looking at higher density level interventions. So we're going to take a little topic change here. I promised a reader that I would get into a subject that I haven't actually talked about before. And this is the topic of what are called entheogens. And if you've never heard that term before, it refers to a substance that will bring out the divine within the human. And so what we would consider hallucinogenic substances are what are known as entheogens. Now, I'll start this by saying I'm not going to advocate, nor am I going to prohibit, let's say, or recommend against their use. For some people, they can be quite helpful. For others, they can be quite harmful. And it can change for an individual from one time to the next. It could be helpful the first time or the seventh time, and then the second time or the eighth time or whatever, then something bad occurs. So if you're already interested in these substances and you want to explore them, I'll just give you some things to watch out for so that you can minimize the risk and get the most benefit out of them. Now, if you're not into these substances, I'm not going to advocate them for you. I'm not going to say go out and try it. Because the risk is that these substances, these entheogens, can shoot your awareness into fourth density. But when you're in that state, you will have no shielding, you'll have no protection. So whatever beings you encounter, you will be somewhat at their mercy. Now, if you then take that into account, you make sure that you go into the experience very conscious, with tremendous focus, invoking the positive beings in the higher densities so that you can be protected and guided during the experience. And so entheogens can also wake up a person very quickly. It can show people things they weren't willing to look at before. Now, sometimes, though, that can be very uncomfortable for a person, and it can result in what they call a bad trip. So you have to be careful with that. So the more inner work you do, the better your odds are of avoiding a bad trip. So if you've already visited and begun working on the deep unhealed wounds in your subconscious, then your chances of having a positive experience go up dramatically. Now, the dark cabal has been into hallucinogenic mushrooms for thousands of years, many thousands of years. And they kept it secret because they understood that it awoke parts of the brain that the matrix wants to keep dormant. It awoke understandings and realizations within them. But of course, they were always making agreements with the negative, regressive, ankle biter type beings, so that when they went into those realms, that they were essentially, let's say, protected from the negativity because they were already aligned with them. So a positive being running into a negative fourth density being while under a strong hallucinogenic effect is going to have a really bad experience. But these beings, these humans, because they had already had agreements with them, they just became more and more under their influence. And so the elite released a little bit of information about hallucinogens in the 30s. Aldous Huxley wrote a book called Doors of Perception. And he was very much an insider, very much an elite and not a positive person, but nonetheless, he was one of the ones that put out information on this. And then they really introduced, especially LSD, to the Western world in the 50s and 60s, because they knew they couldn't keep the cat in the bag, and they figured out that the substances would actually be dangerous to people who didn't know what they were doing. And it would actually make people vulnerable to higher density manipulations. And so, we've all heard stories about people who did too much LSD in the 60s and 70s and ended up as basically burnt out. You know, they're not all there anymore. And I've had clients who were energetically very fractured from very intense doses, very high doses on their trips, and also having somewhat bad trips. Now, that energy can be reclaimed, and the person can be healed from those traumas, but it just means more work that that person has to do afterwards. And so, for anybody that's doing these or interested in doing these, it's really important that you proceed very slowly and very cautiously, and that you take a lot of time in between sessions to gauge the effect and to heal any damage that might have occurred. Also, you need time to integrate the experience. So if it was a positive experience, you're going to need time to integrate that. And for people who are considering, especially the entheogen known as ayahuasca, I would again caution you to be very careful to make sure that if you're going down to the Amazon to do this, you make sure that you have a couple of friends with you. And if you're female, that you make sure that you aren't going alone, especially. There are some fake shamans out there who are preying upon the ayahuasca tourists, and some very bad things have occurred there. So you want to make sure that you're in a safe environment. Now, that is, of course, true for all of these substances, whether you're doing them at home or in another country, that the environment needs to be very safe. You should be feeling very safe, very stable. You should be feeling very connected to your higher self, Mother Earth, the galactic core, and any positive beings that you communicate with. So that safety is very important. Now, ideally, you would have someone who can kind of watch over you. You wouldn't want to necessarily take these all by yourself. Plenty of people do, and they come out okay, but in general, it's good to have somebody watching you. I think they call it a sitter, kind of like a babysitter. Because at a certain point in the experience, if the dose is high enough, you basically have to dissolve. You have to dissolve all concepts of who you think you are. And this can be kind of scary. But if you've done enough inner clearing work beforehand, along with all the other preparations, then that can actually be extremely liberating. And so that's really the main reason to use these substances, is for that dissolving of the ego, dissolving of the concept of who you think you are, and becoming more of who you really are. So again, make sure your environment is really safe. Make sure you're in a very positive meditative state, that you set your intentions, you've energized the substance with your higher self's energy. And then when you take the substance, you continue with that meditative, very focused state. And then as the experience occurs, that you essentially have to go with it. You have to surrender. Controlling it won't really be an option. especially if you've taken a large dose. Now, if you've never done it, but you have plans to do it, I would recommend starting with very small doses and then over a long period of time, working your way up to a full dose, or what you consider to be a full dose, so that you can experience it and get used to it in little stages, rather than being suddenly thrust into a massive, overwhelming experience. And then if you had a good experience, I would recommend that you wait 3 months before going again. And give it 3 months or more in between experiences so that you, like I said, can integrate the positive, that you can clear away any negative effects that may have occurred. And then you can have that positive benefit, can heal away any negatives. And it's not, and look, I don't want to invoke fear into you that, oh, bad things are going to happen. No, it's not a given. It's just a possibility. So for those who have done it and want to continue to do it, go for it. I'm not one to recommend abstinence. If you're not into it, then don't go there. You don't need to go there. You don't have to go there. You can dissolve your ego through meditation, through awareness, through living through your higher self. So that's my take on that. But, you know, ultimately, I want you to tune into your higher self, to your true guidance, and get an answer that's right for you. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm not here to tell you something is good or bad and that you should or shouldn't do it. I'm really only here to help empower you, to help you get back in touch with your true power. And so I won't be going on any kind of guru trip, as I call it. And I would recommend that you be careful, be aware of those that are on the guru trip, because it's a slippery slope, and even the most well-intentioned souls can get tripped up on that slippery slope. I mean, I could surely start a school. You call it Cameron Day's School of Ascension or whatever. And I would set up a curriculum, of course. Things that would... techniques that would need to be done and mastered. And there would be levels to it, which of course then creates a hierarchy and certain students that come in and go through the hierarchy would then be seen by newcomers as somehow special. Of course, then me as the teacher, people would be seeing me as special and very quickly telling me that, in order to curry favor, telling me that everything that I'm doing and saying is wonderful, not actually criticizing me in the times that I might need to be criticized. And essentially, what results is a massive ego trip that looks like a spiritual trip. That's why I call it the guru trip. And it's something that... I mean, I've seen it over and over and over again. You know, Osho is a good example. I mean, that guy, he was tuned in to his inner self. And he spoke a lot of truth and a lot of wisdom. But the whole guru trip basically ended up consuming him. And it, towards the end, especially, his ego was pretty much running the show. Because he thought that anything that he said or did was... perfect. And I have no such illusions about myself, nor do I ever want to be in such a position. So when you see someone who's doing the guru trip, who's got the putting themselves into a position of authority over you, just be careful. Look really deeply into what's going on. Look really deeply too into what might be motivating them. Why are they doing this? Because they're going to tell you, of course, that it's for your own good. They're doing it all for you. But if they're putting themselves as an authority over you, watch out. Because I'm here to tell you, I don't know what's best for you. You and your higher self do. I know what's best for me. I'll tell you what works for me all day long. Doesn't mean it's going to work for you, though. It might, and I hope it does. But if it doesn't, then that just means you have to find what works best for you. And so somebody asked me, what about connecting to Mother Earth? What about grounding? And I say, absolutely, of course. When I first made these recordings, when I first made the self-clearing system, it was designed as an add-on to a person's pre-existing spiritual and meditative practice. So in other words, it was designed to complement what you're already doing. I felt there was plenty of information for beginners, so intermediates needed something else. And self-clearing to me is very important. It's the prerequisite to finding who you really are. Because you have to do away with all of the false self overlays that society and the ego put in place. So yes, please, please, please be grounded, be connected to Mother Earth. Absolutely. I didn't really touch on that in the level one. I do a little bit more in level two, just connecting your energy to the core of the planet. It's really very simple. It's as easy as breathing, really. You're designed to be connected to Mother Earth. And so, in conclusion here, some solutions I just want to reiterate. The number one solution to all of this is that we take our power back. We reclaim all the power and energy that we've given to the enslavement system. And we use that energy for something creative, something new. And we do not allow someone to put themselves above us. And we, at the same time, don't put anyone else above us. So that means, ultimately, where we need to get to is to a place where there is no ruling class. There is no external authority controlling a person, and especially no government, because all government really is mind control. And we can govern ourselves. We did it before, back long ago in our ancient human history, our forgotten history, we governed ourselves. We didn't have people telling us what to do and how to be. We knew how to be, and we acted from that knowingness. And so in my eyes, the future of humanity is very bright. People are waking up. People are restoring their ability to think critically. People are deepening their connection to their higher self. And they are finding those creative solutions to the old problems that we've had for so long. And I see this trend continuing. And I see that the old system is going to be revealed for everyone to see how corrupt it truly is. And these revelations have been ongoing for quite some time, and they will continue. The key is that we have to not be steered into a slightly more expansive control grid. We need to take our power back and smash all of the control grids completely. And so as we progress, we as a species, as humans, will free up the technology of energy harvesting. And we'll be able to do things like collecting solar and infrared energy through special panels right on our home. There was a gentleman who did a TED talk a while back about nanocarbon film that you could just put right on your window that would absorb the energy from the sun as well as infrared energy. The technology exists, so we just have to implement it. And so we're going to have solar collectors that are collecting energy 24 hours a day. We'll have massively improved batteries. And within 5 maybe 10 years, our homes will be totally self-sufficient power stations. And as we continue to advance technology on our own, not relying on some authority to do it for us, but as people take the power back to advanced technology, and as scientists begin actually working for humanity again, we'll have amazing things like 3D printing, for example, which is already pretty amazing, and it's only in its inception. But as we go along with 3D printing, it's going to get more and more amazing. Scientists have already figured out a way to print batteries at extremely small scales. And if you don't know what 3D printing is, please go look it up. It's extremely cool. It's essentially a printer that prints 3D objects. So you could print a wrench for yourself. You could print pretty much anything that is simple right now. But as the technology advances, it will get to a point where it will be simply a household appliance, maybe the size of a small refrigerator, or maybe you want a big one. So you'd have a larger unit if you wanted to fabricate larger pieces, larger, say, for example, parts to a vehicle. You could even print your own vehicle one day. And eventually, this is far down the line, of course, but after sufficient development, after the technology has grown and advanced, then a 3D printer will be able to print using nanocarbon. And that just means carbon that's assembled from an extremely small scale, basically at a molecular scale, so that you can have a unit of carbon, one nanometer thick. And you can then build whatever you're printing from that nano level so that it has amazing structural integrity and rigidity to it, an incredibly long lifespan. So nanocarbon it's way down the line, probably. Although who knows? Maybe secret scientists in a lab somewhere have already figured out ways to print with nanocarbon. That wouldn't surprise me one bit. So maybe it's not as far away as we think. It may already be done right here on Earth. But once we're printing at the nanocarbon scale, then everything opens up. Because carbon, of course, is the most abundant resource on the planet. We are carbon-based life, after all. So to generate carbon is very easy. Any form of biomass could be turned into carbon for printing. So, for example, you mow your lawn. You put your grass clippings into a special unit that then converts it into printable nanocarbon that you can then use to print yourself whatever you need. So maybe you need a pair of pruning shears as a random example. So you print them with your nanocarbon 3D printer, and they'll be basically indestructible. The cutting edge will be razor sharp, and it won't ever get dull because it's printed down to the micron level, so that edge is essentially 1 micron thick. So sharper than a razor. So you can go and prune your trees, and whatever limbs that came off of those, let's say you're pruning your fruit trees, those go back into your carbon processing unit, and they are turned into carbon for future printing. So again, this is a bit sci-fi sounding, I know, but it's out there. That potential is certainly on our horizon somewhere along the way. And who knows, maybe it's already been done. But along with the technological process, spiritual progress is going to be the most important thing. And that's going to continue to advance. There's a lot of light streaming into this planet, and the old control grid is crumbling. So once it finally crumbles, meditation will be as important as eating and sleeping. People will be in general, more meditative in their demeanor. Telepathy will increase, so deceivers will have no ability to deceive us, because we'll see right through any attempts at deception. And we'll be able to view fourth density and to exert influence over that 4D landscape. And that's really important. Being able to control our 4D environment is a major aspect of our, let's say, spiritual immunity that we had once upon a time. We could control that 4D environment and no outside beings could live there. And so that's going to be our greatest protection in the long run, because it was the loss of those abilities to perceive and influence fourth density that made humanity so vulnerable. So we need to restore those abilities, and we will. That's part of the process. And so, as I've said before, we are in the early stages of the big shift in consciousness on this planet. We're in the early stages of returning to the glory that humanity once embodied. And we are getting a lot of help from positive beings on multiple densities. But the real work is up to us. We need to keep working on our consciousness, our awareness, our discernment, our intellect and intuition, and especially our higher self connection. We need to keep saying, "Not on my watch," to the evildoers in the world, especially when they are claiming authority over us. And so the ascension of humanity can be seen as a restoration of our divine abilities. And I thank you for your participation here in 3D. I thank you for listening to this podcast. I thank you for all that you're doing within yourself and within your environment. Sending you many blessings and much love. Goodbye for now.